5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy Sunday, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy Anelli here with you. Angel Santana, Have Faith, Let It Begin. Angel, I see you dancing over there on the computer screen. What's going on in your home office recording studio?
Hey, it's the only appliance that still works. Knock on wood. I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. So what you were doing, that dance, is there a name for it? Is that like the podcast rave?
This is called the I Have Not Slept, But I Am Excited, because we are in the homes of the Croc Nation, and there's no one better to share that moment with than you, my friend.
I'll tell you, the Croc Nation and the Have Faith, Let It Begin Nation, we should have like a picnic with cold fried chicken, and we should have coleslaw, and we should have picnic tables, and we should have a softball game. And the Croc Nation would defeat the Have Faith, Let It Begin Nation by a score of 25-6. That's how bad we would basically wallop you guys.
I agree, because I would think that our cooler system would probably break down. The bats would probably break. I would agree. I think what we should have is a field day, and everybody can bring all of their products and we can just destroy them.
Yeah, we should have a picnic, actually, Have Faith in Croc Nation, for the Hudson Valley chapter. So, you know what we're going to do, Angel? I started a new module a couple of weeks ago, and then we finished up with the exercise module. So the name of the module we're going to continue with today is called Reclaiming Normal. So our cancer survivors get diagnosed with cancer, then they go through all their testing, then they go through all their treatment, then they recover from all their treatment, and then they say to themselves, well, how can I get back to where I was before I was diagnosed? And that's what reclaiming normal is. I think the one we did was about vacations, and I think we did that when I had come back from vacation. That was my motivation. So today, and over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at different relationships and how they're changed by your cancer diagnosis. So let's face it, you can pick your friends. You heard the expression, but you can't pick your family. So best place to start is we're going to start with our family. How cancer changes that whole dynamic. Are you with me, my friend?
I am on pins and needles.
So one of the problems with family is, as I said, you can't pick them. Number two, we have what's called the Freudian perspective. And a lot of people say, we're in the day and age where Freud and his thoughts and his theories are outdated. But having three kids, I can tell you that the Freudian dynamic is true. It's so strange to see things that happen to kids in their childhood, how they interact with each other. There are patterns that I see in my kids that I've seen from when they were infants, that have lasted. So there's something to that. So, usually, when we're looking at family relationships, we're looking at spouses, we're looking at parents, we're looking at children, we're looking at relatives. And, I think the hardest is going to be the people that you live with, because let's face it, humans were not meant to live with each other. We all have our different issues. I call them the human to human issues. And there's a misalignment of needs. I need this and your spouse needs that, or your parent needs this and I need that. And there's always miscommunication, poor communication, non-communication. And what ends up happening is there's all sorts of brouhahas and all sorts of flare-ups and tempers and all sorts of little scuffles that happen, and not physical scuffles, but verbal scuffles and bad feelings and all those types of things that happen. And now let's add cancer to the mix. So the stress of cancer and all of those expectations. So let's start with that. So you finish with your treatment and you feel like poop, right? You feel terrible. You're exhausted. Sometimes you've lost a ton of weight. You don't have that energy. You might have other issues. And all of a sudden, if you're the person who runs the house, your family members are not used to seeing you in the situation where you could no longer do the things that you used to do, have dinner on the table, or provide a really super squeaky clean house. And I'm not being gender specifically, because we're going to try to get away from those, you know, girls do this and boys do that. We'll keep it real generic. But if the person who keeps house, or if two people are keeping house and the one person isn't, you know, what would you say, lifting their weights or holding up their end of the bargain, there will be some resentment. And the other thing is time. How long does it take for a person who has cancer and who has finished completing their treatments? How long does it take for them to recover? And the other thing is, you know, ever take your two kids on, well, obviously Noah's too young, but Ariel would say, "Daddy, are we there yet?" So imagine the family member saying, you know, "Hey, you know, Debbie or Joe or whoever, are you back to normal yet? Are you ready to, you know, what if they're the ones who take care of the lawn? Angel, you're the outside guy. You're the chipmunk and gopher killer. And you're the guy who mans the fence and protects the Santana estate and the ranch. And, you know, what if that was you and you could, you know, the gophers started to move into the Santana ranch and take over? There would be flags placed and there would be holes all over the lawn. And my dear Rachel would say, "Angel, I mean, you're done with your treatment 2 months already. Like, go out there and take on those gophers." And, you know, if it was Rachel, you would say, "Hey, Rachel, like, when are you going back to work? I mean, already we have a budget, you know, we have obligations, we have things to do. Or, you know, can you take care of Ariel? Can you take care of Noah? You know, I have to do my podcast. I have to do this. I have to do that." So there's a lot of opportunity, you know, for that friction. And you know, when do we get back to normal? Is there a specific time frame? And I would have to say no, Angel. I don't think there is, you know, any sort of specific, you know, magical number that we can give to our Croc Nation.
Question, you know, when you say that about the time, it just, the first thing that came into my mind is, and stop me if I'm wrong, is every patient clearly is different. So, you know, the time of recuperation can vary from patient to patient anyway, correct?
Exactly. Actually, we're going to talk a little bit about this in a minute, but I've seen people with head and neck cancer get very aggressive treatments where they can't swallow, they can't taste, they have big, thick secretions, they feel terrible, they're in pain. And I've seen some people go back to normal in 2 weeks, and I've seen people take 2 years, and I've seen other people who never get back to normal. So it's, who knows, you know, so what I think one of the most important things we want to share on this podcast today is to let our cancer survivors know that there is no number. Your number is your specific special number. And I think that as your caregivers, it's important for us to make sure when we're, again, we had this conversation about involving family members in your care, that we're very clear to them on what you're going to be going through. And I actually call myself, you know, when I do these talks with patients, I call them my come to Jesus moments. So a couple of examples, I'll say to somebody whose partner or family member is going to be placed on a really strong steroid. And I'm going to tell them, I'm going to say, the person that you married or the person who is your child or the person who is your cousin or the person who you live with or who is your brother or your sister, after I give them this medication, you're not going to recognize them anymore. They're going to become very manic. They're going to have significant insomnia. They're not going to be able to sleep. Their personalities are going to change. They're going to get aggressive. And guess what? It's not their fault. So I think it's our responsibility, don't you think, Angel, to make sure that we don't just say, okay, take this medicine. We have to, you know, or take this radiation or take this chemotherapy or take this immunotherapy or take this surgery. Right. I think we have to be very clear with them on what to expect about these interventions, about these different sort of prescriptives that change people's lives.
Absolutely.
And I always talk about fatigue and lassitude and what that actually means. And I think we said this one, at least once in a previous podcast about the, you know, I was very sexist in the beginning of my career. I would say, okay, ladies, they would say, okay, Ian Ellie, what does that fatigue really look like? And I'll say, well, for the women, that means that those dust bunnies underneath your refrigerator are going to have a good life until you feel better. And guys, you're going to be falling asleep in the second half of Monday Night Football. Very, you know, gender specific, which we're not going to do anymore. But you get the point. The point is the normal things of life. I would give a if I had a person, a patient, a survivor who was the cook of the house or was making the meals of the house, I would actually take out my prescription pad and I would put pizza and Chinese food as needed. And I would give it to them. I'd sign it and I'd give it to them to show if their, you know, partner was giving them a problem. It would be a funny thing to do, but it was basically making a point that, you know, you're not going to have a normal interface and that's okay. You know, you just have to be ready for it.
Right.
Sex and intimacy, we're going to talk about separately, but, you know, that's another issue that's really important. And, you know, changes in, I will be actually gender specific only about motherhood in the sense that women who are maternal, who even if there's no children in the house, they take care of the home. They're very maternal. They're used to doing 99% of the work and we're used to cutting the lawn and they do everything else. And then at the end of the day, we expect to come in and have our iced tea and lemonade with ice ready for us. And it's like, in the meantime, they did all of the laundry. They cleaned everything. The house looks perfect, but we don't see that. Right. So that maternal instinct, that instinct to basically take care of things and be completely selfless and completely no need for recognition and taking care of everyone, that need, that ability to care for everyone except yourself. Now, all of a sudden, you're the one who becomes the person who really has to accept the self. So you get angry at yourself for not being able to do the things you used to do. And you are angry at yourself or you're angry at your family because they're trying to help you and they don't know how. And they ask you and you just get angrier and angrier and angrier. And, you know, that's another thing to talk about with family relations.
Yeah, without a doubt. And that's the thing. That's the key factor. You know, I hesitated there for a second because anytime you deal with just anything with family, it's a touch and go situation because it can go either way.
Absolutely. And then you want to hear another, what would be another thing you would think would be a really bad dynamic with you know, family relationships with cancer?
I would say difference of opinion, differences of opinion.
I think that's also what I said when I talked about the human to human issue. There's always those issues and then it's just compounded. I was actually talking about the guilt. I think people always feel guilty that they got sick. Somehow it was their fault.
I would have thought that, to be honest with you, I don't disagree with you, but I would have thought that more with your friends. But I didn't
think about more with you. Well, I mean, we're gonna do friendships also. It'll be another episode. And I'm sure it's actually operative in that, you know, dyad as well. But with your family members, you feel guilty. And there's another thing that you feel guilty about without even knowing it. You feel that you might be the reason, the one who's passing down a really bad, fickle gene to one of your kids. So a woman who's 45 and has a bunch of little kids and a bunch of little girls, she has breast cancer and she's thinking, oh my God, did I just kill my kids? You know, did I just pass down a gene, you know, that could kill them? And the answer to that, just to let you guys know, or survivors, is generally no. I mean, familial cancers are very rare. They really only get passed down 5 to 10% of the time. And there's a new dynamic going on in the oncology care, you know, around the globe, especially in our country, and that's the geneticist. So a lot of times you guys will be meeting with a specific cancer genetic specialist who will take what's called a pedigree. They'll go through your entire, you know, family history, and then they might do some blood testing and some genetic testing to check for mutations and see if indeed you have Lynch syndrome or you have some kind of a syndrome that might be something for your children to worry about. So that's another thing, is the guilt that you're causing your progeny or your family members to now be exposed to this cancer.
Question for you. Is it normal, and I hope this is not off topic, but is it normal for a patient to feel guilt toward the fact that they're ill and they feel that they're putting their siblings through just as bad?
Yeah, I mean, the guilt is that they feel like they're not pulling their weight.
Right.
They feel terrible because, you know, number one, you have the resentment of the other person. Like, hey, you know, I was used to you getting up early and walking the dog, and I was used to you, you know, picking up the kids at the bus stop, and I was used to you having dinner on the table for me after I worked a hard day, or I was used to you doing the chores, or the, you know, doing the landscaping, and I was used to you taking the car to the service station, and now I have to do everything that I'm doing plus that. You know, there's the guilt of not holding up your end of the bargain. And guess what? You guys are going to have to deal with it. All of our family members who we also consider survivors, right? When we did our defining survivorship, you guys are all survivors. I think communication, we talked about the alignment of needs quite well today.
Yeah.
But really, maybe to spend a minute on miscommunication, poor communication, and no communication, I think it's going to be healthy for everyone to kind of share their frustrations and their guilt and their feelings about all this. And then I think after, you know, everyone knows where everyone stands, I think they can kind of create a temporary, let's make sure we put that in quotations, a temporary new normal.
Yeah, I agree.
And then I will also tell you, this is not an unusual thing. You're going to think that this is, oh my God, this is the most terrible situation in the whole world. And it probably never happens because who could be this terrible? But I have seen many marriages break apart because of cancer.
Really?
And initiated by the family member.
Really?
Yeah. And I've seen also from the survivor. Sometimes the survivor will realize what a schmuck they're married to, because the person is all about them. And it's like, you know, they're used to being taken care of. And then all of a sudden the survivor has needs that conflict with their needs. And they'll finally, you know, their eyes will be open and say, oh my God, who did I pick to marry? This person's a jerk. Well, I don't want to be married to this person.
So here's a question. You just said break them up. Has there been issues where it actually a couple that was already on the defense of being broken up and it actually saved their marriage?
Yeah. Yeah, I would think the converse is true. I think I could pick my brain somewhere and find that as being, sometimes, what would you say, terrible circumstances or tragedy can bring people closer. Absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah. And then I just want to also make sure that I alert everyone. This is our public service minute before we end the podcast today, to talk about there is help out there. There would be a lot of people who would love to help you. If you happen to notice that, well, first of all, if you're in a unhealthy or maybe even abusive circumstance where you are the survivor and you're, you know, your parent or your kid or your family member or your partner, spouse is actually making your survivorship difficult and actually putting their needs ahead of your needs and making you very unhappy and depressed and adding more burden to your already burdened backpack, then you need to achieve what's called immediate or emergency mental health assistance. But hopefully that will be the minority of cases. The more the majority would be just some of these things we're talking about, some of the miscommunications, misalignment of needs, misunderstandings where people just kind of are assuming something like, why is it taking you so long to get better? And it's like, why aren't you like asking me how I feel? Or why aren't you, you know, being nice to me when I really need you to be nice to me? And these things are not happening. Sometimes just an uninvolved, you know, therapist or someone like a third party might be able to come in there and just kind of straighten things out. As a matter of fact, even your cancer doctor or your cancer care team might be that person. I have had, actually, I just last Friday, a week ago, had a person who came in whose husband had brain mets and had changes of behavior. And we had to go through a whole series of referrals to mental health and things like that. And, so we are also here to help you as well.
That's excellent. It's very important that people understand that there's always some formal way of help. And it applies to everything in our everyday normal life. But in this situation, specifically when you're dealing with something so tragic, something so challenging, Not to, you know, reiterate it, but just on both ends, it's important to seek that help if you so desire or need it.
Absolutely. And I want to give, am I allowed to give a teaser for some of the other episodes in this
please
module?
Please do.
So we talked about vacations. We talked about family relationships. We're going to be talking about friendships and intimacy and work. We kind of did exercise. I'm not going to do another one on exercise because we did a whole module on it. Personal expansion, social events, food, hobbies, home puttering, your fiscal slash business life, your mental health and your spirituality. So we have a really nice module. I think I feel really good about it.
Sounds good to me. I mean, I'm ready for it.
Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin. Thank you very much, as always, for being part of this podcast, for being our brother here, and being so good to our survivors.
Absolutely. I think we hit the nail on the head. And it, just from the very moment you started with, you can't pick your friends, but you can pick your, but you can't pick your family. And I think a lot of people can resonate with that.
Absolutely. Rod Freeman, have faith, let it begin. I gave you a double pump on that, Angel. Rod Freeman, small biz up. Rod Freeman, small biz up. Everybody gets two today. Thank you for being so kind and awesome. To me, to the survivors, to everybody, you're a really good man. Of course, our board of directors, we'll have dinner with Alan in about a week and a half. One of our board members had a stroke and he's doing very well, and we're going to support him and love him and get him back. We finally get our clock. We got our Croc jerseys for our board of directors. So everybody will be wearing their awesome black Croc jerseys, at dinner next Wednesday. We have our beautiful Michael John Benzea, Charlotte Larson, who are so kind to us, help us defray some of our costs. And to you guys, to the survivors, to you guys who are out there in the trenches, to you guys who are actually what we're talking about each week, this is you guys, this is your struggle. Who knows, you might be having family struggles, you might be having struggles in your relationships with your spouse or your parents or your children or your relatives. And hopefully, I'm hoping that perhaps these episodes, these small little squirts of information, you feel loved and you feel supported, because after all, that's why we're here. And as always, on behalf of Angel and the other board members, we always want you to know that you're special, that you are superstars, that you are rock stars, that you are Hall of Famers, and we absolutely adore you and would do anything for you. We wish you, as always, a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.